As American voters make their way to the polls today to choose their next president, something in the air smells just a little different this time around. While both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are currently taking the forefront in the polls, analysts state that both parties are peas in a pod, aligning with America's policies of continuing its funding to Israel, furthering its ongoing aggression in the Middle East. They argue this election will not change the U.S. stance on Palestine moving forward. The main question arises, how will this year's U.S. elections impact the geopolitical landscape in the Middle East, the Ukrainian-Russian war, and Sudan at large? VOC News spoke to Dr. Ramzi Baruth, a renowned Palestinian journalist and the editor of the Palestine Chronicle, who recently lost his sister in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza, to share his perspective on the geopolitical dynamics between the US and the Middle East.
Obviously, American foreign policy is very entrenched in the Middle East. We know this because since World War II, the United States has kind of played the role of the caretaker, if you will, of Middle East foreign policy and Middle East affairs, inheriting that legacy from largely from the British, but to lesser extent from the French as well. In recent years, however, there has been some serious disagreement between the various ruling classes in this country, where some, like Donald Trump, believes in kind of what they call isolationist foreign policy. It doesn't mean that I agree with this kind of terminology, but essentially it meant that while some wanted to kind of keep rooted American involvement in the Middle East and elsewhere, others wanted to kind of break away from that traditional foreign policy and to move on. This is very important in the context of the Democrats and the Republicans. Under the Obama administration in 2012, it was very clear that American foreign policy in the Middle East had been very costly in every possible way, geopolitically, militarily, financially, politically, and in terms of American reputation and standing in the Middle East and worldwide. During that time, China was rising in power, and that led to the what they call the pivot to Asia, the idea that America's foreign policy should focus largely on pushing back against Chinese encroachment in their viewpoint, of course, in the South China Sea and the Pacific Rim. Since then, U.S. foreign policy has been kind of caught in this impossible situation because the Middle East pushed itself once again as very important geopolitical arena. The so-called Arab Spring played a big factor in that. The wars that resulted from the revolt in the Arab world, situation in Libya, to some extent in Yemen, but especially in Syria and its impact on Lebanon, Palestine, and Iraq, and Iran, all of these issues kind of forced the U.S. foreign policymakers to kind of slowly find their way back to the American support for Israel, for example, in the last year during this genocide, is not as many analysts have got it wrong when they claim that it is the outcome of some kind of Israeli power over the Americans who really don't want the war to carry on. To the contrary, is American foreign policy makers in a state of panic over the status of the Middle East and the relationship to the Middle East region. Shall Israel lose this war? And shall new players emerge first regionally in Palestine, Lebanon, Yemen, and Iran, but also internationally, which is creating a vacuum for the Chinese and the Russians to fill in. So this is where the American panic is really all about.
He adds that despite the complicated relationship between Israel and the U.S., the U.S. will continue backing Israel. According to Baruth, the U.S. is caught in a foreign policy transition. He also shed light on the situation in Sudan.
In conclusion, it's obvious that the Americans don't want Israel to lose. They don't want Israel or their status in the Middle East to change. But at the same time, they haven't yet made a final decision, since they cannot afford going all the way back to their traditional foreign policy in the Middle East, considering the new challenges underway in Ukraine, Russia, and the whole China sphere. So American foreign policy is absolutely crucial in the Middle East, but the U.S. is caught in transition, a foreign policy transition. They were already transitioning towards a different region. They were pulled back by circumstances beyond their control. And now, because of what happened on October 7, they find themselves in this even more difficult position. They cannot abandon the Middle East, yet they cannot return to the Middle East. They cannot control the outcomes of the Middle East and all of that. This is why the U.S. is very, very keen for an Israeli victory, which, of course, would not be possible. The same thing that applies to Gaza and Lebanon, to some extent, apply to Sudan, although it seems that U.S. foreign policy in Sudan, for the time being, is kind of ran by American clients, Arab clients, namely, in the region, and African clients. So I'm talking namely about the United Arab Emirates and Ethiopia, and they really don't feel that, regardless of the outcome of what's happening right now, they don't feel that it's going to fundamentally impact American interests in the region. This could change. Shall the situation in Sudan itself change?
Beirut says both Republican and Democratic administrations have been terrible for Gaza. Besides being infiltrated by Zionist lobbying groups, he attributes this to the experience. He adds that Biden and his administration had numerous opportunities to back out in support of Israel, but instead, he played along as a Democrat does.
We know that it was the normalization between several Arab countries and Israel and the marginalization of the Palestinian cause. All of this was taking place under the Trump administration, which essentially served the role of the genie, granting Israel all the wishes it had. Netanyahu was basically providing all these lists to Jared Kushner, to Donald Trump, to do whatever he and the extremists in Israel and, you know, essentially all Israeli politicians in the mainstream circle are. Within that ideology, there is even a more extreme version of that ideology, and that was the ideology that was embraced by Donald Trump. But then the Biden administration took over, and he could have simply shifted the policies back to its previous course. It's not that that previous course was pro-Palestine in any sense of the imagination, but at least it did recognize the settlements to be illegal. It did recognize East Jerusalem to be unoccupied territories and so on and so forth. But he didn't. Biden continued on the same course that was taken by the Trump administration. And then when the genocide took place, Biden did not hesitate in any way in supporting Israel, providing it with the murder weapon that it used to carry out the genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza. And Biden had numerous opportunities to change course, numerous opportunities to put his foot down and to say enough is enough. But he played along because that's what Democrats do. This whole language about Harris is saying this and Trump is saying to Netanyahu, you need to lower the tensions. And it's all nonsense, ultimately, because what really matters, this is just the kind of language they use in the elections. It applies to any community, any group in the United States. I mean, they speak to the workers, they speak to the farmers, they speak to the media people, they speak to the artists, and they speak to the marginalized Latino groups. So that, and they tell them exactly what they want to hear. It doesn't mean anything as far as, you know, what they actually end up doing once they are in power. But we already know that what is happening in Gaza right now, what's happening in Palestine, in the West Bank right now, is essentially the outcome of the joint policies of both Democrats and Republicans.
Lassie Beirut highlighted a potential positive outcome following the U.S. elections.
One possible positive outcome of this election could be if the Muslims, the Arabs, and their supporters, including progressive Jews and groups of various backgrounds, decide to vote or to cast their vote in such a way that would send a strong message that they made the decision that they made because of the administration's support of the Israeli genocide in Gaza. If they manage to do so, it will not change outcomes now, perhaps. We still don't know, but at least it will remind future politicians and administrations that finally, Palestine, like Israel, have become a domestic issue. Because traditionally we have been told, and it's an accepted academic fact now, that Israel is a domestic American issue. Palestine is not. The Palestinians are not. The grievances of Arab and Muslim communities and their priorities are not. But if these communities mobilize around Palestine, around Gaza, to send that message, if the Democrats end up losing, they will always remember that they lost because of Palestine. This is going to be earth-shattering as far as American politics are concerned. Palestine will never be a marginal issue anymore as far as these groups are concerned. The same thing goes for the Republicans. It all depends on how the state with large Arab and Muslim communities cast their vote. It could be quite critical in how future American politics are going to be shaped by various foreign issues, foreign policy issues. Lead among them is the struggle in Palestine.
For VOC News, I'm Kotha Sambo.